This is Dial a Saint introducing Saint John of the Cross. What would we expect from a person who was imprisoned unfairly and confined to a small cell, which was freezing during the winter and steaming hot in the summer, whose food was mostly dry bread, and who received beatings and humiliations from one's own fellow religious? In the case of John of the Cross, the world has received from him the most beautiful mystical poems a loving soul could write to its God. In the early 1500s, John's father had married a girl whose family was thought to be on a lower social level. To some persons in the city of Toledo, Spain, this was enough reason for his parents to cut him off from receiving any income during their lifetime and from his rightful inheritance when they died. He was required to support his wife and three children by working as a silk weaver. But his early death left the family with little income. John, who was the youngest, received some instruction at the local school for the poor, and then became apprenticed to a silk weaver. But he left this work to be a servant in the hospital at Medina. At the same time, he kept up his studies in preparation for the religious life. When he was 21, he joined the Carmelite friars, intending to always remain a lay brother. But his wish was denied, and he was directed to study 4 more years. When this was completed, he was ordained a priest and took the name John of Saint Matthias. John had always desired to reach a closer union with God. He lessened his own importance through fasting and penances, but toward others he was always kind, gentle, and forgiving. He loved God and his creation, and said the things of nature were always lovely, since they were like the crumbs which fell from God's table. He received permission to practice the strict daily observance of the original rule of the Carmelite order, which included daily and nightly recitation of the divine office, perpetual abstinence from meat, and numerous fasts and penances, instead of the easier rule which many found more comfortable. The prior general was bothered by this looseness, and asked a certain holy woman named Teresa to help open several houses for those men who wished to return to the more austere life rule of the original Carmelite order. She had heard of John, and said after their first meeting that God had intended him to become the instrument through which this reform would be accomplished. He agreed to help her, and soon, along with 2 other friars, renewed his priestly vows as reformed discalced friars, which meant, among other things, that no one wore shoes. John took for himself the new religious name, John of the Cross. The news of the holiness of their new but poor religious house spread, and soon Teresa was able to start 3 others, the last one being at a college of the University of Alcala, where John was made rector. Then, in 1572, Teresa, who was prioress or head of the Reformed Carmelite convent at Avila, asked him to serve as spiritual director for herself and all the sisters. She wrote of him, "The people take him for a saint, and in my opinion he is one, and has been all of his life." John approached God through prayers, fastings, penances, and meditation, which brought him closer to God and his real happiness. At times God tested him as Job of the Old Testament was tested, through interior troubles of the mind, disinterest in spiritual things, temptations against purity, lies from jealous men and women, and finally spiritual and interior dryness. The feelings of loss he experienced and his searchings for God's love were recorded and written for us in his book, The Dark Night of the Soul. More problems for John arose in the form of those Carmelites who did not like the reforms encouraged by Teresa and himself. Teresa was removed from her position of leadership, and John was imprisoned until he would agree to stop his reforms. His 6-by-10-foot stone cell was without windows except for 1 small opening in the roof 3 fingers wide. Food consisted of 1 sardine and dried bread once a day, sometimes. His clothes were never changed for the 9 months of his confinement, and he was even beaten by the older monks in front of the entire monastery. While the young monks were sympathetic to him, the more hardened called his quiet submission only a trick. During his imprisonment, the jailkeeper supplied him with paper, upon which he wrote how his sufferings helped him reduce his self-esteem to nothing. He raised his thoughts to God in such beautiful poems of yearning and love that in their collected form they are known as the books, The Spiritual Canticle and The Flame of Love. Ah, where art thou gone hiding, my love, and leavest me alone with moaning? Fleet as the deer thou fleddest when thou hadst me sore stricken, and thou art gone. I follow thee with outcry. On the feast of the Mother of God, she appeared to him and showed him the window through which he would escape. Over the days, he carefully loosened the door hinges of his cell, and then one night, so as not to alert the guards, he slipped out, climbed over the wall, and made his escape. New followers were again attracted to him, and he opened several monasteries. His reform movement was officially approved by the Pope as the Discalced Carmelites, and he completed another book, The Ascent of Mount Carmel, which described the way to come closer to God through contemplation. But new jealousies rose again, this time among those of his own reformed order who did not like his moderate ways. He was removed from his positions of leadership and even threatened with expulsion from his own order. John became sick and died in 1591, while suffering much from those who had little sympathy toward him. People became convinced of his holiness by the many miracles worked through his intercession. He was named a saint in heaven in 1726, and in 1926 was given the title of Doctor of the Church. John's body was not allowed by God to decay. To this day it remains whole and flexible, and people still notice its sweet fragrance of perfume. John was a faithful follower of ancient tradition. He wrote that human life on earth is ordered toward the perfection of charity and closeness to God in love. There is no work more necessary than love. We have been created for love, and God uses nothing but love to do his work. Our love must be produced by faith in God's never-ending love. This faith in God's love can become the basis for all our thoughts and actions.